DW Africa Link.
It's Monday, the 21st of October, 2019. Hello and welcome to the show that gives you all the updates from Africa and beyond. This is Africa Link, coming to you live from our studio here in Bonn, Germany. I am Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Mimi Mefo. As always, you're welcome to join the debate on today's stories via our Facebook page, DW Africa. Coming up on the program,
Russia invites dozens of African leaders to Moscow later this week for a summit to strengthen economic cooperation. What does this for Africa?
We in Africa, we want to be open to Russia, want to be open to everybody. Nobody is going to dictate to Africa who her friends are. The Russians have never tried to undermine African economies. The Russians stood by us during the days of the Soviet Union.
Also coming up,
later this week, a Malawian court is expected to announce the penalty faced by Chinese-led ivory and rhino horn smuggling gang. Malawians are calling for justice to be done.
These Chinese, they should be judged accordingly, because killing all the animals is a crime here in Malawi. So we expect the court to do fast so that we can see the way forward of the case.
And these stories plus more will be coming up in a bit.
Yes, indeed. But before the details, here's the news in brief.
DW News.
I'm Kai Dombach with the DW News. 9 people were killed in northern Burkina Faso overnight in the latest attack on the region. A security official said the region was struggling with a jihadist revolt and that all of those who died were civilians. The United States, United Kingdom, and Norway have urged political parties in South Sudan to meet a November 12th deadline to form the transitional government. The move comes after the government and a major rebel group agreed to a roadmap that will allow peace talks to resume. However, main opposition leader Riek Machar told a United Nations Security Council delegation that he would not be part of the unity government because the parties could not agree on how to integrate the army. Canadians went to the polls in their federal elections on Monday. It is expected to be a close election between Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Conservative leader Andrew Scheer. If Trudeau were to lose his seat as Prime Minister, it would be the first time in 84 years that a first-term Canadian Prime Minister lost an election. This news comes to you from Deutsche Welle, Germany's international public broadcaster. At least 11 people have been killed in protests in Santiago, Chile over metro fare hikes. Over the past week, the protests moved from mass fare dodging by students into violence and vandalism in metro stations. Protesters say this is an expression of discontent over the cost of living. Chilean President Sebastián Piñera dropped the potential metro fare increase, but said protesters must be peaceful.
Por esa razón, yo estoy convencido que la democracia no solamente tiene...
I am convinced that democracy not only has the right, it has the obligation to defend itself using all the instruments that democracy itself provides, and the rule of law to combat those who want to destroy it. And I am referring to those who act outside the law, committing serious crimes, violence, looting, and vandalism.
Cometiendo graves delitos, violencia, saqueos y vandalismo.
The European Parliament said it will not vote on ratifying the Brexit withdrawal agreement until British lawmakers have done so. Meanwhile, in another blow to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the Speaker of the British Parliament's main house prevented the government from holding another Brexit vote after the initial defeat. The UK is expected to leave the EU in 10 days' time. Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri said Monday that his cabinet passed several economic measures, as well as the budget for 2020. Hariri said it was not solely in response to several days of protests in the nation.
These decisions are not designed as a trade-off. They are not to ask you to stop expressing your anger. That is your decision to make, and no one gives you a time limit.
The protests initially started over a proposed tax on calls via the WhatsApp messaging service. The plan was scrapped, but protests have continued, demanding a massive overhaul of the country's political system. For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Kai Dombach.
A and you're listening to Africa Link. We are coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. Once more, I am Mimi Mefu.
And once more, I am Eddie Micah Jr. We're live on our Facebook page, DW Africa, talking about the page. A lot of you are tuned in. Kinsley Chidebube, an interesting comment from you. You're telling us to remove the picture on our page right now. That's because it's Nigeria's President Buhari. You know, people have personal reasons for saying this. Also, Ifeanyi Abazu, well, all of you are welcome to the show.
Certainly, now, Nigeria is making headlines, Eddie.
Just with a picture, maybe.
Certainly.
Just a picture tells a lot of stories. Now, let's talk about a story making headlines in Africa, and it has to do with Russia. So you're already asking, what has Russia got to do with Africa? Well, apparently a lot. The country is now mapping plans to extend its economic influence on the continent, which has declined over the years. President Vladimir Putin will on Wednesday open Russia's first ever summit in Sochi with about 47 African leaders.
And this is, of course, going to be one of the biggest news of the week, Eddie. On Monday, Putin said Moscow seeks to invest and not frighten and reap profits from Africa like the West's exploitative tendency. Those were his words. Let us now listen to Dr. Obadiah Mailafa. He is former deputy governor, operations at Nigerian Central Bank. He starts by telling me about the state of Russia-Africa relations.
Like you rightly pointed out, during the Cold War, during the heydays of the anti-colonial struggle, without the firm stand of the Soviet Union, many of our countries would never have seen the light of independence. So yes, communism was a very bloody affair, but I think that God allowed communism in order to save Africa, because it was the communists that saved Africa, not the West. The West were opposed to freedom for Africa.
If you listen to the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, he said that his country's coming to Africa is not to reap but to invest. Can one see the cooperation as a win-win for both?
Definitely. I do see a lot of that happening. Don't forget that the biggest oil and steel industry project, one of the biggest in Africa by far, was Ajaokuta in Nigeria. And it was supported by the Soviets, the former Soviet Union. Unfortunately, due to neglect and poor project management, you know, that Ajaokuta project has virtually become comatose. We would like to welcome them back to help us resuscitate Ajaokuta, because we know that without heavy industry, without precision engineering, you know, our dream about an industrial revolution is very unlikely to happen.
Now, looking at it from the global perspective, I mean within the continent, what does Africa stand to gain through cooperation with Russia?
I have spoken with my European friends. They have never been open to Russia. But we in Africa, we want to be open to Russia, want to be open to everybody. Nobody is going to dictate to Africa who her friends are. The Russians have never tried to harm us. The Russians have never tried to undermine African economies. The Russians stood by us during the days of the Soviet Union. So we need to work with Russia. It's not exactly a democracy in the Western liberal sense of that word. They have their own challenges.
The Russia-Africa Economic Forum is taking place in Sochi for the first time. China has a longer track record of inviting African leaders to Beijing as a group to talk about cooperation and ties. Are Russia and China becoming bigger rivals when it comes to Africa?
No. I don't think so. Look, we have nothing to fear from Russia. Russia is no longer a world power in that sense. Yes, they are sitting on a lot of nuclear weapons, but from an economic point of view, they are a middle-ranking power.
Well, that is Dr. Obadiah Mailafa, who is former deputy governor operations at Nigeria's Central Bank, speaking there to DW. And we ask you on our Facebook page, DW Africa AD.
Well, many comments came through. I'll start with one from Samuel C. Ago. Says, the United States of America can disappoint you just as they did to the Kurds recently. So we have to move towards Russia and China.
John Smith, on his part, thinks that as long as Buhari is there, no good thing can come out of it.
Retsi adds, Russia should first revive itself because they are also poor like Africans. And I have so many things against this particular message, but we respect it, right? It comes from the individual and this is how they see things.
Certainly. We can see more than 100 of you there live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Don't just be there listening. Be part of the debate. We continue with news, this time around out of the African continent, as Canadians head to the polls Monday. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Liberal in tied race with Andrew Scheer's Conservative Party with national opinion polls.
Now, Trudeau has been hit by racist scandals, among other scandals. Now, polls indicate his Liberal Party could lose to the rival Conservatives or perhaps win, but still fail to get a majority of seats in Parliament and have to rely on an opposition party to remain in power. For more, here's DW's Giulia Sardelli.
In the lead-up to Canada's elections, it's been all but a smooth ride for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. His approval ratings dropped to almost record lows, and his Liberal Party is engaged in a neck-and-neck race with the Conservatives. Both are polling around 30%. Despite a strong economy and low unemployment, Trudeau's popularity dipped after a series of scandals. Trudeau has been trying to make up for his missteps, often attacking his main opponent, the Conservative Party.
Here's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want $53 billion worth of Conservative cuts? Or do you want a progressive government that will continue investing in families and investing in communities? That's the choice. It's that simple, and it's that important.
In one of the closest races in recent years, both the Conservatives and the Liberals may not win a big enough majority to govern alone.
That was DW's Giulia Sardelli.
Certainly on the Canadian elections. Now let's go to Malawi, back to the African continent, where a court has started hearing two cases involving a Chinese couple and their illegal ivy trade in the country. They were arrested in 2017 and later released on bail, but they were arrested again this 2019.
Yes, arrested again for committing the same offence and more after some members of the public tipped the police. Many now await the court's verdict as the country tries to tackle illegal poaching. Our reporter Chimwenwe Padatha has more.
All eyes on the courts as hearing of the high-profile case involving a Chinese national has started in Malawi's capital, Lilongwe. The Chinese couple was arrested in 2017 upon being found with ivory. The couple, Yung Hung Lin and his wife Kung Hung Zwang, were given bail after the first arrest but were rearrested in May this year after being found in possession of 103 pieces of rhino horns and ivory. The couple was caught red-handed at one of their compounds. Lin is allegedly involved in the smuggling of elephant ivory, rhino horns and pangolin scales. He was on the run until May this year when he was arrested after police, in conjunction with Malawi's Department of Wildlife and National Parks, launched a manhunt. Alex Chunga is the senior parks and wildlife officer responsible for law enforcement activities in the department.
As much as the value is there, but for us, what is more important is the fact that for the ivory to be there, it means the animal got killed. So as much as we value the ivory, the products, but what is more important is the value of a live animal. Yeah? Because if that animal was still alive, the ivory would have been with the animal. So I think we should start looking at the value of the ivory when it was on the animal. So it was more valuable with the animal itself than dead as it is. So yeah, of course, there's a lot of monetary value, but yeah, I think it's more valuable when the animal is much alive.
Some Malawians welcomed the arrests and are now pleading with the court to expedite hearing of the two cases as a way of ending illegal wildlife trade.
These Chinese, they should be judged accordingly, because killing all the animals is a crime here in Malawi. So we expect the court to do fast so that we can see the way forward of the case.
This is a welcoming development to Malawi as a country, and I hope that the courts will speed up the judgment on the case. We have seen that there have been some cases of corruption in the past on the cases as regards to wildlife crimes. So I just hope and believe that the courts will do their job rightly.
On Friday, the court is expected to announce a date when a ruling of the case will be made.
Chimwenwe Padatha with that report. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Africa Link, the program that explores Africa's top story. We are coming to you live from Bonn, Germany. I am Mimi Mefo.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. You can also be part of today's program by joining the debate on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Ethel and Shom, you're tuned in and you're talking about the Russia story. But Russia having this meetup with, what about 47?
Wanting to get into Africa.
Yeah, with 47 different African countries. Anyway.
That's going to be a big story. We are looking forward to that.
Looking forward to what comes.
Especially what they are going to be discussing and how beneficial it's going to be for the African continent.
Exactly. Anyway.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, we hear from men in Ghana who are trooping hospitals for breast cancer tests and treatment. Doctors say that they are not less resistant to the disease.
And breast cancer is no respecter of person. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to both male and females. More in females because our breasts are more developed, but yet can happen in male.
Looking forward to hear more from that story. But yeah, also you'd have the latest of the weekend sports events and the best of Bundesliga games. So basically what we're saying, Mimi, is people should stay tuned.
Certainly. But first, let's head to Botswana, where citizens would be going to the polls Wednesday to elect a new president, parliamentarians and the country's councillors. The ruling Botswana Democratic Party, the BDP, is going into the election as a divided party following a breakaway of the country's former president, Ian Khama.
Opposition coalition, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, says it's certain of victory after joining forces with the country's strongest opposition party, that's Botswana Congress Party. Thuso Kumalo reports from Gaborone, Botswana.
With Botswana's rising unemployment rate, the election is intensely focused on growing the economy for the 2.3 million citizens. Both the ruling Botswana Democratic Party, BDP, and the main opposition, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, UDC, agree that it is a tightly contested election. The two are at the top of about six political parties in the contest. The coalition has three main opposition parties in its camp. A rally held by the UDC over the weekend in Gaborone has left many unsure of the ruling party's chances. An estimated 30,000 opposition supporters were present. The UDC party leader, Advocate Duma Boko, says he will create 100,000 jobs in the first 12 months of his administration.
So we hope that the people take the right decisions. They vote the Umbrella for Democratic Change. We take over when we begin immediately the challenge of transforming their lives. We're confident because we've done some serious campaigning. We've been consistent in articulating the plight of our people and giving them a turnaround strategy for the country.
However, the ruling party is adamant that come Wednesday, its mandate will be extended. Incumbent President Mokgweetsi Masisi had breakfast with the elderly at the state house over the weekend, promising them victory. Masisi says they have a solid plan that will increase domestic production and exports to create the much-needed jobs.
The BDP is refreshed. The BDP is forward-thinking, it's dynamic, it's young, youthful. We're the only party that's talking the knowledge economy. We're the only party that's promulgating policies and programs to migrate in that direction. We're digitizing rapidly fast.
But his party goes to the election limping after former President Ian Khama announced he's backing a new opposition party, Botswana Patriotic Front, BPF, to remove BDP from power. Masisi accuses BPF of displaying dangerous behavior.
There is evidence that particularly the party of the BPF is beginning to form itself into a vigilante and potential rebel movement. They had ex-military persons, they marched them at a funeral and commandeered them as you would in a rebel army.
But Boko dismisses this claim together with allegations by the country's intelligence that some are plotting to assassinate the president.
I think it's all sympathy-seeking. I think it's trying to make yourself look vulnerable and pretend that somebody's threatening you so that people can sympathize. I think our people are smarter than that. They know that the man is playing games. It's absolute nonsense. The country's intelligence is a rogue unit.
57 parliamentary and 490 local government seats are up for grabs, and the two major parties have fielded candidates in almost all of them. 925,000 registered voters are expected to go to the polls.
That is DW's Tuzo Kumalo, they're reporting from Botswana. It's really rough on the continent as far as elections are concerned, Eddie.
Yeah, some countries, yes.
Mozambique is still recovering as well. We saw other countries hit with violence, election fraud, and many other things happening.
Exactly. And of course, we should head towards an era where all elections across the continent will be free and fair and devoid of any sort of violence. But we also have to understand that democracy across the continent is new. It's like a new baby. It's taking time for many countries to embrace it. And that's no excuse for the violence that happens, of course. But we should be more serious in upholding democracy.
And the most important thing is I see how youths are getting more and more involved in politics. Like when you look at the situation in Cameroon, how youths were really, really engaged in seeing that change happens.
It's quite a phenomenon,
like, you know.
I know when you start talking about politics, it's going to take us an hour, Mimi. So
certainly,
we'll get back and discuss after the show.
Of course.
Health check.
Now, the month of October, this month, is dedicated to creating awareness about breast cancer. Across Africa, it entails screening and treatment of the disease. Women in their numbers are getting their breasts checked.
But in Ghana, this year, focus has been placed on men. Did you know about that? I don't think so. The men are seeking diagnosis and treatment for breast cancer. Isaac Kaleji in Accra visited a center where some men joined other women to test and get more knowledge about the disease.
Dozens of women gather at Trust Hospital, a health screening outlet in west of Accra, for breast cancer tests. But they are not the only ones undergoing medical checkup.
And I've come here for a breast screening. Yeah, I know it sounds weird because I'm a boy.
That's Martin Ajiri, who is in his 30s. He's one of the over 20 men visiting the center to know more about breast cancer.
I'm here to get tested because, like, it can happen to me too. And then that's the thing. Sometimes you think, nah, this thing won't happen to me. But how do you know? How can you be certain? How can you be sure? So it's best you just get tested just to have that clear conscience and feel like, oh, okay, so I don't have it. I'm good to go. You know, like any test, you do it so that you can clear your, get your mind off it. And be like, oh, okay, so I've gotten checked. Now I'm comfortable. I walk with more confidence and I know I do not have any signs of breast cancer or breast cancer in any way.
A jury was attended to by health officials at Trust Hospital. After receiving advice on how to detect lump in his breast, he tells me he's less nervous and relieved.
She checked the other side from the other breast for me, and that felt good. And then, all in all, it was a good examination. It turns out I don't have any lumps in me, and I'm good. I'm good. Now, with this knowledge, I, for once, I'm going to tell my mother, so to all my female friends, because now I'm more knowledgeable and more aware about breast cancer.
Derek Abraham has just gone through a similar process. He says he will encourage his relatives to do same.
I feel relieved when I'm thinking about my sisters, my mother, my wife, and all our females, if they haven't tested yet. What are their chances? So I'd encourage everyone, all females and even male, to get tested because early detection saves lives.
In Ghana, breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in women. But a new campaign encouraging men to get themselves tested is a shift from traditional mindset about the disease. Dr. Victoria Patty Newman of the Trust Hospital says attention is given to men because no one is immune to cancer.
So, breast cancer is no respecter of person. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to both male and females. More in females because our breasts are more developed, but yet can happen in male. WHO has shown a statistic of 1% males worldwide having incidence of breast cancer. So, it's best to face what you're afraid of. So I know breast cancer is something that most people don't want to mention about. It has been stigmatized. People say you are cursed, it's a sin. But it's high time we break that mystery and know that breast cancer is real.
Dr. Newman says she is excited about men's desire to know more about breast cancer, which is generally associated with women. She's hoping this could spark a new wave of awareness among Ghanaians to help fight the stigma that comes with the disease.
That is DW's Isaac Aleji, there reporting from Ghana. And on our social media platform, on our Facebook page, DW Africa, we had these comments from Yu Kembong. Badali said that now that I know he is a man, of course, I would do that. And Idi, I ask you, you are also a man. Are you considering doing a cancer test or breast cancer test?
I would do that right now. If someone came and put all the equipment needed to do it, I'll do it right now because I think it's something that we take for granted. Men forget that we have breasts. We do have breasts, so we should check it and prevent cancer. So yeah.
Now that we know, I think that more men should go for screening than women.
Rightfully so.
Africa Link Sport.
There was a lot of action over the weekend, okay? It was mixed fortunes for the clubs in match day 8, talking about the German Bundesliga at the weekend. My team failed to grab all 3 points, but I'm not going to tell you yet.
Now let's join Shola Jaisimi here at DW for the wrap-up, as well as what to look forward to with regards to Bundesliga clubs participating in the UEFA Champions League as match day 3 resumes.
Real drama. That's how football commentators summed up the 2-2 Augsburg-Bayern Munich game. A goal by the host on the very first minute and another at the very end. Augsburg seemed unfazed by the pedigree of current champions. Even when the Bavarians got back into the game through Maxman Robert Lewandowski and took the lead through German international Serge Gnabry, an injury time leveler through Fingo Garson meant Bayern had to settle for a 2-2 result that leaves it third on the table. Mönchengladbach remains on the top despite a 1-0 loss away to Dortmund, who move up to fourth. Wolfsburg remained in the second position after a 1-1 draw away to fifth place Leipzig. Cologne hammered bottom of the table, Paderborn 3-0 to move up to 15th. Now the UEFA Champions League enters match day 3 on Tuesday and Wednesday. On our axe, Chuck Penfold of DW Sports Desk. Bayern is at the top of Group B after that 7-2 trashing of last year's finalist Tottenham. Do you see the drama that played out at the weekend at Augsburg affecting the 2013 champions when they take on Olympiakos on Tuesday?
Well, I guess if you're talking about the drama, then it's the central defender Niklas Süle getting an ACL injury and he's going to be out for several months. It will cause some problems for their back line. Maybe Kovac, the coach, is going to have to bring Boateng back in. But certainly not the optimal sort of preparation for a game, although it is Olympiakos should still be doable for Bayern.
Borussia Dortmund also tops Group F of the Champions League ahead of Barcelona. What do you expect in Wednesday's game against Inter Milan?
I think it's going to be a tough test. They're in Milan. Of course, they've had success on the road, but this will not be an easy nut to crack. They're coming off that 1-0 win over Mönchengladbach that was a bit fortunate. They had Royce save them. So I think if they got at least a point in Milan, that would be a good result.
Okay, I know it's still early days, but do you think Leipzig with 3 points in Group G and Leverkusen at the bottom of Group D with no point at all can make it out of the respective groups?
Well, Leipzig with the 3 points are very much alive. I mean, the two teams in it and Olympique Lyon only have 4 points. We've only played 2 match days, so I think Leipzig are very much in the mix. Leverkusen, yeah, they've got no points from their first 2 games. It's a little more difficult for them. Atletico and Juventus with 4 and Lokomotiva Moscow with 3. But having said that, it is still just match day 3 coming up. There still is a chance, but not getting any points from your first 2 games puts you a little bit behind the 8-ball.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And lastly on sports, South Africa demolished the host Japan at the ongoing World Cup to set up a semi-final against Wales next Sunday.
Of course, Shola Jaisimi, the ending at today's package with sports. They're bringing us to the end of this edition of Africa Link. I am Mimi Mifo.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks all of you for tuning in. Have a good night.
DW. Made for mind.